you, Alicia. It's so good to see you guys here today. Happy New Year. You know, I get so much encouragement and energy from you guys just being here. Because I was pretty flat this morning. Is anyone else struggling to sleep in hot nights? Man, I was just like lack of sleep. But it's just been so good worshiping with you. And I just also want to say thank you so much to Bev. I don't know where Bev's gone. It's hard to pick her out there. But that was such a beautiful prayer to start off the new year. So thank you, Bev. That was wonderful. A bag has turned up. I wonder what's in here. You'll just have to wait. You'll just have to wait and find out. Speaking of bags turning up or not turning up, in January of 2015, which is now more than 10 years ago, can you believe it? But in January of 2015, Alicia and I, we went on a holiday. We had some leave booked at that stage. We went on a holiday to Melbourne. And, you know, it's not an international flight. I mean, you know, it's a domestic flight. So you would think that being within Australia and not having to do international transfers and things like that, it would be easy in terms of, you know, baggage tracking and handling and things like that, right? But no, Virgin Australia still managed to stuff it up. And we had this wonderful holiday in Melbourne, and we eventually got back to Perth. And of course, being domestic, not having to go through customs and stuff like that, just goes straight through to the baggage carousel. So we're standing there at the baggage carousel, and everyone else is milling about, you know, waiting for their bags to come out. And after about 5 or maybe 10 minutes, we've only flying economy, of course. After 10 minutes, there is Alicia's enormous hot pink bag that comes out. It's like, okay, yes, it's, you know, here that comes, great. So we pull it off and stand there. It's like, well, you know, I guess ours were checked on at the same time. They should roughly come off the carousel at roughly the same time. 10 minutes go by, still standing there. And it's, you know, it gets a bit worrying. Have you felt this anxiety when the bags start to thin out and yours hasn't arrived yet? Uh-oh. So we're getting to that stage, but I'm like, I'm looking around, well, you know, there's still probably about 50 or 60 people here, you know. And then you get like 10 minutes after that, and most of the bags are gone, and now there's like random bits of equipment that come out last, like some dude's surfboard and guitar case and things like that. Now there's only about 15 people there, and now I'm worrying. 10 minutes later, it's about half an hour now, I'm still standing there, and it's really just Alicia and I standing there. And there is the carousel going around, and then the worst thing imaginable happens. Still no bag, it stops. Yeah. And so I walk over to the ironically named customer service desk, and I say to them, look, you know, here's the situation. And I'll cut a long story short. There followed about 2 months of phone calls and emails and etc. But eventually, I received a very corporately worded apology from Virgin Australia and $1,500 compensation. I never got my bag back. So someone somewhere had my favourite pair of Oakleys that I'd ever bought and my first pair of leather Chuck Taylors and my spiritual prayer journal, which I'm assuming they read and went through a cataclysmic repentance at stealing my bag. So I'm there in January 2015 at that stage with $1,500 and literally a mandate to deck out a new wardrobe, to get some new stuff for the new year to replace what I had left behind in the previous year. And we talked about that last week, or Shell talked about that with us last week. And what I want to do for this week and actually next week is look at a text in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to do verses 3 to 8, but today, otherwise it'd be like a 50-minute sermon, so I'm going to do it sort of in two halves. Today I just want to go from verse 3 to 4. We're just going to read it and then we'll have a chat about it. It says this, "His that is God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. That is extraordinary. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. See, this week I want to talk about what new things we can add to our spiritual wardrobe in this new year, and specifically the promises of God. The promises of God. Now, before we get into all of that, first of all, who is Peter even writing to? Well, Peter writes his letters, plural, 1st and 2nd Peter, to a whole network of churches. We know that because in his first letter, we read this. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered through the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and so on. Now, we'll look at the geography of all of that in just a moment. But first, I want you to notice the phrase exiles. He calls them exiles, people that have been displaced. He's suggesting that these believers may be living away from their true homeland. Now, he's not talking necessarily geographically. Most people are probably going to church in the place where they were born, but he's using that in a spiritual sense, a spiritual displacement. They feel displaced. Things feel foreign to them as they move into this new way of living. Maybe you felt a couple of times in 2025 when you've read certain headlines feeling a bit displaced from the world and as it should be. Have you found yourself thinking this? What is going on with the world these days? I've lost track of this place. What's going on? It's also likely to be circular letters sent to established churches. There are terms like, as we've just said, exile. He also uses terms like chosen people, a royal priesthood. These are very Old Testament-y kind of terms. If you've read the Old Testament, you would know they're very Jewish terms. And so that would resonate with Jewish believers in these churches. There are also, however, a few clues to it being a Gentile, non-Jewish audience as well. For example, 1 Peter 1:14 and verse 18 as well. These verses refer to a former ignorance or an empty way of life that you used to live, but you don't anymore. 1 Peter 4:3-4 describes past participation in idolatry, drunkenness, lawlessness. And so this kind of suggests that they once used to live a certain way, the Gentile way, the Roman way, the pagan way, but they don't do that anymore. And so they're kind of exiled from that. In any case, he is using the heritage of the Hebrew Bible, or what we call the Old Testament, to graft in new believers from diverse backgrounds, whether they be Jewish or Gentile. And you know what's ironic is that this is made a bit easier by the shared experience of oppression from Rome. It's not a popular thing to become a Christian. There is social hostility. There is slander against them. There is exclusion, social exclusion. It's costing them something to be a part of this new Christian movement. And so they are exiles. And so what we have is a whole community spanning the Roman Empire of churches that are learning how to live out their Christian identity, not necessarily in a new year, but in a whole new season of life. They're Christians now. They've put their trust in Jesus. And they're living out this Christian identity in the face of Roman resistance. And that resistance comes in many forms. Our text this morning is not from the first letter that Peter writes, but the second letter. And in it, we see a really interesting shift. Second Peter, the audience, faces internal threats. First Peter's more about external pressures, but Second Peter talks about more internal. There are false teachers that deny Christ's return, and they promote immorality. Chapters 2 to 3 deal mostly with all of that stuff. The letter addresses believers who are established yet vulnerable. And that's important. You may have been a Christian for 20, 30, 40, whatever, how many years. You may be an established believer, praise God, but that does not mean that you are invulnerable. Why? Why? Because things constantly change around us. Things are constantly changing around us. The controversies, the conversations that were such a thing in 2022, they've moved on. It's like maybe you're in a situation where it's like, I just figured out what the biblical response to point A was, and now no one's talking about that anymore. Things have all of a sudden moved on. The issues are different. And we find ourselves lagging behind. How do I keep up? How do I keep up with this? How do I stop myself from falling into the latest new craze or idol? We may be established, but that does not mean that we are invulnerable. And so the question that we're really dwelling on this morning is, how does Peter, the Apostle Peter, how does he prepare such a vast, diverse audience to face anything that's going to hit them? Like anything. How does he ensure that they are ready for anything that's coming down the pipeline? Here's how he does it. He reminds them of the promises of God. Let me read verse 4 again. Through these, that is the goodness and grace of God, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, the them refers to the promises of God, through the promises of God, you may, and this is an extraordinary sentence, participate in the divine nature. Wow. That's a way of saying you will be different. You will be different. There is a promise for every region. We love a Bible map here at ICC. And on this one, and apologies for the quality, but it's the only one I could get that actually had the right frame that I wanted. We see the provinces listed in Peter's letters, and they're kind of strung out in a line between the Black Sea in the north and the Mediterranean Sea to the south. And you can read about these areas in most Bible commentaries, but you find out that they were perfect for trade and commerce. You've got overland commerce happening between the provinces. Very fertile land here. So lots of crops, lots of fertility. But also there is a particularly flourishing slave trade. Slavery is big business. Hey, do you know it still is big business? Right? And you've also got seaports. To the north, you've got the Black Sea accessing southeastern Europe, and to the south, the Mediterranean Sea accessing the top of northern Africa, which is another economic powerhouse in this day and age. What's the point? This map, what you are looking at in that, black rectangle, this is the economic engine room of the Roman Empire. That's where Peter's writing his letters to, the economic engine room of the Roman Empire. This is kind of Wall Street, if you like. These provinces are united by what? Consumerism, greed, and the buying and selling of people. The buying and selling of human beings. And that always leads to exclusion. It's like the big game of Monopoly. You know when you've played Monopoly? I hate this feeling. You know when you play Monopoly and you get to that point in the game and you suddenly realize, I'm done here.
Yeah.
Like, I can see I'm going to be bankrupt in, like, within about three roles. You know why that's such a bad feeling? Because it mirrors real life for some people. When you can see that you're stuck in an economic system where, like, the elites are up at the top of the pyramid and most of the people are down here, and you're about to fall down a rung. You're about to be what? Excluded from something. These people living amongst these churches that Peter is writing to, they are being excluded from certain things in Roman society as they choose not to live like everyone else. We see exclusion happening as a result of economics in our own age. Some weeks ago, went down the road to 60 Walter to get myself an iced latte, say g'day to Damo. It's a great cafe, good coffee there. As I'm waiting for the order to be ready, the West Australians on the bench there open up the page, I think it's page 3, double page spread about how an entire generation of Western Australians probably won't be able to afford a house. All of a sudden, the game has changed. The so-called Great Australian Dream maybe isn't anymore. The game changes underneath you. And so, to those who are no longer able to participate in certain things, Peter says this: he's given us his great and very precious promises so that through them you may what? Participate in something far, far more valuable. You may participate in the divine nature. In fact, it doesn't even say participate. The actual Greek word there is to be partakers. We partake in communion. You can even partake in the divine nature, the very person of who God is. And this doesn't mean that you become like a God floating around, but you become different. Things take on different value. Okay, there are temporary things that you cannot participate in, but guess what? You are now chosen to participate in the eternal. Did you know that? Whatever happens in 2026, whatever did happen in 2025, here's what doesn't change. To be in Christ is to participate in the eternal, in the unchanging. In the unchanging. Rome united its provinces through greed. Jesus unites his churches through his promises. And there is a promise for every season, and this is what we're getting down to this morning. He says in verse 3, here's that is God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Did you know that? Did you know that you have everything you need for a godly life? You could just as easily say lifestyle. No matter what turns out in 2026, here is the good news. You already have everything you need to deal with it. How? Well, as we've discussed earlier, we draw on these spiritual resources through the promises of God. Through the promises of God. What does that look like? Well, now you get to find out what's in my suitcase. This one did arrive in Perth. Who's going to be using some of this afternoon? One thing that's constantly changing in this country is the weather. And around about this time of the year, it's essential to apply this stuff. Sunscreen. And obviously there's been some controversy recently that some might not actually be as much 50 plus as they say they are. But nonetheless, it's important. Now our sunscreen, this is actually our sunscreen, I bought this from home. This lives in the closet all year round, okay? And it doesn't necessarily come out in June and July. But there are certain days like today, like if you're going to the beach this afternoon, where you need this. You need this. And you know, it's like is it going to do me any good if I leave it in the closet on a day like today? No. But then also, if I do that, is that enough? If I go out in the sun and I go, I've got sunscreen on, I'm gonna have this amazingly brown arm with this glowing white dot in the middle of it. So what do you have to do to use sunscreen? Well, you've got to rub it in. You've got to rub it in. And this one takes a while. You've got to rub it in. You know, some Christians, they have a beautiful Bible that sits on the shelf or sits in a closet all year round. But you've got to take it off the shelf. You've got to take it out. Or maybe you prefer the Bible app. Maybe you've got the app on your phone. Fantastic. How often do you open it up? And, you know, opening up the Bible or opening up the Bible app, it's like a dot on the app. That's great. But is that going to do in the harsh, blazing sun of life? You've got to rub it in. You've got to rub it in. No excuse to just leave the sunscreen bottle in the cupboard. Just like a Bible's no good left on the shelf. We are equipped to deal with whatever is going to happen in 2026 through the constant, unchanging promises of God found in the Word of God. What do you call the process of rubbing it in? We call it meditation. Now, that can be a scary word for some people, because meditation sounds like, what do you mean by meditation? I don't do meditation. You know, one of my favorite things ever said by Rick Warren, great pastor, was this. Who knows how to worry? Put your hand up if you know how to worry. If you're good at worrying, guess what? You are good at meditating. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Because all worrying is meditation on the negative. And so what we are called to do, and what the Apostle Peter is calling the Christians that he is writing to do, is to meditate on the promises of God. To rub them in. To take a promise. And to think on it, and to think on it, and to think on it. To rub it in. And do you know what that process is? Meditation. Here it is. Meditation on the promises of God is simply the application of the constant to the always changing. If you find yourself going, I'm struggling to catch up with how fast things are moving. I'm a bit worried about what's going to happen in 2026. Think of meditation this way. It is the application of the constant to the always changing. The application of the constant to the always changing. And so, we get to start today. We'll finish off the rest next week, but I have an activity for you for this week. Something for you to pack in 2026. Is there a new promise in the Word of God that you need to add to your spiritual life this year? You know, many people are doing, here's another thing that I packed for 2026, a box of promises. Many people in this week will be making New Year's resolutions. Have you made a New Year's resolution? Maybe you have. And many people in churches will be making Christian New Year's resolutions. Lord, this year I'm going to pray more. This year I'm going to read my Bible for X amount of minutes per day. Stuff like that. But what I have in this box are promises of God. These are God's resolutions about you. This is God's resolution about you. Let me just pick one at random. God is faithful even when I fail. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13. There's lots more in here. So we're going to sing in a minute. Stand and sing the blood What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this box down here. And as you're singing, as you feel ready to, come up, dip your hand in this box and pull out a strip of paper. And I want you to dwell on that promise this week. And as that promise begins to rub in, and it begins to shift your heart, my prayer is that you'll get excited by that and you'll think, I'm going to pick a new promise for next week. Friends, it is the promises of God that prepare us for anything that'll turn up in 2026. Meditate on the promises of God and apply the constant to the always changing. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that for every person who picks out a promise this morning, that would be the right one for them. I pray that you would speak to your people as they dwell on the great and wonderful promises in your word. Thank you for the privilege that we have to even participate in the divine nature, to live differently in a scary world. I thank you that it is your promises that puncture our anxiety and that give us peace. So we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning as we sing and as we reflect on these promises, that each and every person would hear your voice into their heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll leave them here. Feel free to, when you're ready, come and grab one.